Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to Solutions Watch. I'm your host, James Corbett of CorbettReport.com here in April of 2024. And this week, I'm not going to be exploring an all ready to go, straight out of the box, here it is, you can apply it directly to your life as soon as you hear about it type of solution. I'm going to be exploring more of an avenue for exploration of a potential avenue for solutions. And if all of that is, kind of a strange way of putting it, well, let's look at what I'm talking about, and you'll start to understand, and then I'm going to solicit your feedback and information on this so that we can see if this can be applied fruitfully or not. What am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about something that, the first thing that got me thinking along these lines, specifically with regards to Solutions Watch, was this article that came out from ReclaimTheNet.org last month, suing the National Park Service for not accepting cash. And exactly as it says on the tin there, this story revolves around Elizabeth Dasburg and a couple of her friends who were refused entry to the Fort Pulaski National Monument in Georgia because they were attempting to use cash to pay the entry fee. Now, this is important because, as they go on to say, plain and simple, Dasburg and two others believe it is still illegal in the U.S., to refuse to accept the country's legal tender. Or is it? That's the question that the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia will have to spell out. All right, there it is in a nutshell, and I will throw in the link to this article so you can go and read through all the specifics of it for yourself. They have a copy of the complaint there that you could read through. But the big idea here is, well, okay, so you've been refused entry to a public space managed by the federal government or a branch thereof, because you're trying to use cash to pay. Well, isn't that literally the law? Isn't that what legal tender means? Don't they have to accept cash? And if not, well, what do we do about that? You could start a media awareness campaign, try to raise a big stink about it, get people talking about it. You could start a protest movement, you could start a boycott. But how about suing? Why not taking the government through the judicial ringer and seeing if not only can justice be achieved in this particular case for these particular women, but how about just the general legal precedent being set and it being hammered and gaveled down into law that the U.S. government and its various branches and, hey, everyone else has to accept cash as payment? Wouldn't that be a giant victory for the pro-cash side in this ongoing war against cash that is taking place right now, that is leading us into the digital gulag, digital ID, CBDC matrix of technocracy? Well, this would be a great thing if we could get it gaveled down in law, wouldn't it? So, suing the tyrant, suing the government in this case, why not? Well, that's an idea, right? And it's interesting, it's one of those things where I started thinking along these lines, and then suddenly I just started seeing all of these various stories popping up in my news feeds along these lines. For example, last month, Activist Post had this up: FBI has to face lawsuit over no-fly list, says Supreme Court. And this revolves around the case of an Eritrean national and an American citizen who sued the FBI in 2015 after having issues traveling due to being on the no-fly list, which is part of the government's terrorist screening database. It bars certain people from flying, which you would know all about if you're a long, long time listener of the Corbett Report, because I talked about that a lot back in 2007, 2008, 2009. Anyway, yes, this guy got put on the no-fly list. He was having problems traveling. He decided to sue the FBI in 2015. Now, that case was originally dismissed because the FBI said, you know what, actually, you no longer meet the requirements for being on this list, so we're taking you off the list, so you can't sue us for being on the list. But apparently, well, the government has failed to demonstrate that this case is moot, so says Justice Neil Gorsuch, meaning it's going to have to actually face the music and face this lawsuit. So they're going to have to explain in some way why he was on the list, why he was taken off the list, what kind of redress of grievance is possible here through the justice system. All right, it's a potential, again, a potential avenue for a potential possibility for exploring solutions, shall we say. Now, this, like so many other things, could be used for good, it could be used for ill, it could be used for productive things, it could be used for completely counterproductive things. Like what? Well, like, man sues government for not protecting him from sea rise. This up from whatsupwiththat.com just in the past few days, and this image they used to illustrate the article is just perfect. If you've seen Austin Powers, you'll know what this is referring to. But yes, apparently, a homeowner in the UK who has lost his house due to coastal erosion is now suing the UK government. And as they note here, hot on the heels of the ECHR judgment, we now face the possibility of a rush of silly legal climate cases. What is the ECHR judgment? We can get more on that from this Telegraph article. Swiss government violated women's human rights by climate change inaction. ECHR rules. Strasbourg court finds Switzerland failed to do enough to combat global warming in a ruling that could have repercussions across Europe. And what is the ECHR? Oh, that's right, the European Court of Human Rights. Yes, the bureaucracy of the EU communists have decided that governments now have a duty to protect people from, well, this subhead said global warming, but actually, of course, it's climate change. Which, what does that mean? Anything, as we know, it means anything that you want it to mean at any time. Absolutely everything is due to climate change. You didn't have a heat stroke, you had a climate change related cardiac incident. You didn't stub your toe, you had a climate change related event. You didn't have coastal erosion, you had climate change. The weather gods were angry that people were driving cars, and the government didn't do enough to stop people from driving their cars, so you can now sue them, says the ECHR, which, oh, by the way, Brexit and all, the UK is still part of the European Court of Human Rights. Interesting. Well, maybe not for long, because apparently there's now a bit of a backlash amongst the public in being caught up in this ECHR monstrosity. But, long story short, Kevin Jordan, a former marine engineer, is one of two Britons who claim their human rights have been violated by the failure of the government to protect them. Which is a silly story that is quite well dismantled here at whatsupwiththat.com. So once again, please do read the article. But long story short, the coastal erosion that Mr. Jordan is complaining about was almost stopped in the 1950s following sea defenses being built. But in recent years, those have fallen into decay and erosion has simply returned to former levels. So in a way, maybe yes, maybe the government is actually responsible insofar as they do claim to have control over this geographical area and be responsible for all the things that are taking place in it and such things as building sea defenses, which they have allowed to fall into disrepair, which is leading to coastal erosion. It has nothing to do with weather gods or whether or not you drive an electric vehicle. So that part of it is totally moot, but you know, there may actually be a case to be made here from a very different perspective. But, of course, this is just going to serve the propaganda of the propagandists who will have a field day with this and will actively encourage people to start suing the governments for everything because everything is climate change. If there is any bright spot in this, as the whatsupwiththat.com writer here notes, at least the public is not having it. And if you go through the comments on this mainstream dinosaur media post, they are all universally eviscerating this man, the claim, the lawsuit, calling it pathetic, all of that, blood-sucking lawyers, etc. So the public is generally not having it yet, but this is an example of how, oh, suing, don't sue us, oh, don't throw us in the briar patch may actually be part of the whole propaganda dance that's going on here. There are other objections that people can and no doubt will make to this as a potential solution. Don't worry, I will address those. But let's keep going on, because yes, this can be used for stupid things. It can also be used for important things. For example, people might have seen recently Alex Jones to sue CIA after undercover report claims agency went after him hardcore. And if you don't know what this is in reference to, this is talking about this Sound Investigations undercover report, which I did some precursory digging and tried to find out who is Sound Investigations, where do they come from, what is this, and I have not found any interesting information yet. I will let you know if I do, but this is clearly some sort of Project Veritas-like organization, some James O'Keefe-ish outfit that is going around doing these undercover interviews with various officials, in this case, Gavin O'Blenis, who describes himself as a contracting officer for the CIA, who was talking about the ways that they can put anyone in jail if you know what to do, and that they can nudge people and make them angry and use cutouts to do things to them, etc. It's not exactly clear what he was specifically saying the CIA did, or who did it, or anything that would be really actionable. But, well, don't take my characterization for it. Go and watch their report for yourself. But the long and short of it is that following the release of the footage, Alex Jones told journalist Benny Johnson that he's going to sue the CIA. And you can go and watch this clip of that interview where he's talking about this. And to his credit, Benny Johnson does, I think, two or maybe three times try to specifically nail Alex down on, okay, so you have contacted lawyers, you're in the process of contact. What are you suing? Who are you suing? And what are you specifically suing them for? And, of course, there is no actual answer to that yet, because nothing's been filed, and Alex is talking about some sort of civil rights violation, but what does that mean? What law are you citing? What will specifically be... remains to be seen, so we'll find out, and I will keep you updated as we learn more on that situation, but that's just one of the examples of the ways that this can be used on something that at any rate is of importance. I'm not going to say that this isn't of an important issue. Certainly if the CIA and others are using various cutouts and assets to manipulate and set people up and what have you, that is an important issue and should be dealt with in every possible way, including through the courts. Why not? And along those lines, another person who is also suing the government, who is actually suing the government, Derek Brose, as you may or may not know, is suing the state of Texas, and he just recently, just in the past couple of days, put up a update about his lawsuit. So if you don't know about that lawsuit, I will throw in a link to this Houston Public Media report on Derek Brose sues Texas to challenge the election law that kept him from running for mayor of Houston, which relates to his mayoral candidacy from last year. You may have seen he was running for mayor of Houston, but he was kicked off the ballot because of an 18-year-old felony conviction for drug possession. And so he is saying that the law that they're citing that effectively bans all convicted felons from running for office violates the U.S. and Texas constitutions. And again, you could start a media campaign, you could start a protest or a boycott movement or whatever. What are you going to do? Why not a lawsuit? And so... if you go to this article, you can come and see read the actual filing, Derek Brose v. State of Texas, which lays out the case and what is being said and what laws are being cited, etc., etc. So, anyway, there is that lawsuit, and it is in progress, and there's the update if you want more on it. Another example of ways that this can and is being used, lawfare of a sort. Well, it can be used against us. Well, how about, can we use it? Can we pick up that tool and use it? Well, one organization that thinks we can is Make Americans Free Again, which you may or may not have heard of. If not, I'll put the link in the show notes. You can go and read more about them and their litigation. But basically, this is an organization that, as I understand, was founded in 2020 in the wake of the scamdemic hysteria nonsense and all of the craziness that was taking place at that time. This was an organization that was helping people to supporting people's litigation against the state in various ways. So, for example, they say that since 2020, this Make Americans Free Again has led the way on groundbreaking legislation, challenging the emergency declaration, defending health professionals against regulatory actions of censure boards, filed a lawsuit against the state medical board and its board members personally, challenged the vax passports, etc. And they have a list of all of the other litigation that's ongoing right now and that they've taken part in, all sorts of cases related to the scamdemic craziness. So, there you go. There are people who are working at this right now and trying to do something with this and taking it to the government and trying to sue the tyrants. Okay, now, I know you've been sitting there waiting for it. Yes, okay, so let's talk about some of the potential pitfalls with this idea of suing the government. And the first obvious objection, which will be, do you really think the government's going to go, okay, you got us. Here's all the documents that we have that incriminate ourselves, and we're just going to lock ourselves behind bars. You win. Of course not. This is not some fairy tale. It's not likely to end up like that. I'm not holding my breath waiting for some judge to actually gavel down on George W. Bush. You are convicted of crimes against humanity. It's probably not going to happen like that. But having said that, there are times in which this could have a positive effect, certainly, even if it isn't an actual win in the court, and even if it doesn't actually change the law. At the very least, this is a good way of getting attention on an issue rather than simply going out and holding signs on a street corner. A lawsuit does tend to generate more attention, does it not? But yes, fair enough. Is it going to be ultimately effective? Well, it can be, and I've talked about various times in which certain things have been won back. The New York teachers who were suing, who had been forced out because they were refusing to take the medical interventions, etc. So there are times when people can be reinstated in their jobs and have things returned to them, etc., through the court system. I'm not certainly not going to say it's not something that wouldn't that you shouldn't pursue. And why would you listen to anyone telling you what you should or shouldn't do, or you can't do this? Give it a try. But don't hold your breath waiting for the government to incriminate itself. But maybe there's a more direct way of doing this. Because yes, it's one thing to sue a state, or sue the government, sue the National Park Service, sue the FBI, sue the CIA. But John Doe v. CIA is very different than John Doe versus Joe Schmo, right? What if it's a specific individual that is being sued? Would that make a difference in the calculation of how effective this tactic might be? Well, let's explore that idea. Again, from Reclaim the Net. They had this article up recently. Supreme Court unanimously rules public can sue officials who block them on social media in some circumstances. All right, this sounds like an inconsequential type of story. Who cares? Well, I'm not even on Twitter. What does it matter? But bear with me here. I think it's interesting. In a landmark decision, the U.S. Supreme Court has established a significant precedent for free speech in the digital realm. On Friday, the court unanimously ruled that under certain conditions, government officials may face lawsuits for violating the First Amendment if they block critics on social media. This decision introduces a critical test for assessing whether officials are acting within their governmental capacity when they silence online dissent. So, yeah, fair enough. Okay, so there's an official who is sitting in an official office, the Secretary of State or whatever it is, has an official account that, is that a government account? And is he acting in his role as a government official on that account? And so then, if he blocks someone on social media, is that a First Amendment violation? Is that the government actually blocking someone's free speech? Because it's a government official on a government account. Well, I guess this is what what's being gestured at here. And again, you can read the actual opinion here that talks about the establishment of this test. According to the new criteria, an official is deemed to be engaged in governmental action if they possess actual authority to speak on behalf of the state on a particular matter and are seen purporting to exercise that authority in the relevant posts. So if you meet those criteria, that means, well, you can't block someone, because if you do, it is an actual infringement on the First Amendment. Okay. Again, whether or not you're interested in this in particular, and if you are, please follow the link in the show notes to that article in particular, but the general idea here is very interesting. So rather than suing a government agency or a government department or a government, how about suing a very specific individual? No, not the CIA, not some amorphous organization. No, you specifically, Mr. Well, what was his name? I don't remember his name off the top of my head. Gavin O'Blenis. You specifically, I'm suing you. Now, in this case, I don't know if Alex Jones would have a case against Gavin O'Blenis, because I'm not sure Gavin was admitting to having done anything personally, but you get the idea. Suing a particular, specific individual who has participated in a crime, they would no doubt argue, oh, in the course of my duties as a government elected official, I had to do this thing. But to the extent that you can hold individuals accountable, I would expect that would be a more fruitful form of getting response, getting attention, potentially getting change. And this is the driving animus, as I understand it, of the In Power movement, which I know there have been Corbett Report members who have talked about this in the past, so I'm sure there are people related to this organization or who have signed up to it, who are in the Corbett Report audience, so you can speak to it in greater detail. But for people who are just new to it, inpowermovement.org, you can go to their frequently asked questions to find out about the specific legal instrument or Is it a legal instrument that they're talking about here as a way of not suing, but entering into a legal contract, as it were, with specific individuals within government? So it says, what is a notice of liability? A notice of liability is a formal written document sent in response to a harmful offer. It is a private contract negotiation that makes use of the same principles which are used by corporations and governments to get you to agree to offers, even though these may not always look like offers. Okay, and for people who are lost in this already, this is related to, I'm sure you've seen some of the sovereign on the land movement and that sort of thing, talking about the ways that parking to the ticket or that sort of thing. It's not what we think of it. It is an offer that is being made by the government, and you sign on it as in you are accepting their offer, and then you go and pay them for their service, etc. This is a type of legal contract. And so the idea is that you are countering that offer with one of your own, in which you are serving someone with a notice of liability. Well, okay, if you do this to me, then you are now personally responsible, and this is what you now owe me. And what is the benefit of sending the NOL, the Notice of Liability? By sending an NOL, you are putting officials and executives on notice that they are causing harm towards you and your loved ones, and that you do not agree to it. In the world we live in, we are constantly being bombarded with offers by governments and corporations. If we stay silent, we are agreeing to the offer. This is known as tacit agreement. By sending an NOL, we are letting the recipient know that we do not agree and advising that we will hold them accountable if they continue with their actions. All right. Again, please look through this at your leisure. I'm not familiar with documents. How difficult is the process? How can I start using the notice of liability? Is there support as I go through the NOL process? There's lots of information here in the FAQ, and you can explore the In Power Movement website generally to find out more information about this. But it's not just In Power. It's not related to any specific group. This is a general document that you can find more information. For example, Dr. Tess Lurie up on her Substack has this: sending this notice of liability to your doctors may wake them up and stop them causing more harm. And they have a template here that you can use regarding administration of SARS-CoV-2 vaccines. I write to put you on notice that your practice/NHS trust may be liable for gross negligence in administering the SARS-CoV-2 vaccine. And then it has information about that. And in the circumstances, I would be grateful if you could confirm in writing that patients are being advised by your clinicians about the known material risks, including plasmid contamination, and the fact that there are unknown material risks relating to gene therapies, and that such material risks are identified over time. And this is a template that they are encouraging people to use and modify and adapt for your own circumstances. But this is the idea, sending specific notice of liability to specific agents of the state saying, nope, what you are doing is harming me or harming others, and you will be personally responsible for it if this continues. Now, that's, again, not exactly like a lawsuit, but it may be more effective than that, and it may be a way of using this judicial system and process and the big rule books of law that they love to throw in our face. Well, is there a way to throw them back that will be effective? Now, as I say, this is not a straight out of the box, here you go, guys, here's the solution, and here's how to make it all better. This is more of an exploration, because as you can see, there are obviously some potential pitfalls and problems with this as some sort of pat, here you go, it's all ready, it's all done solution. No, we have to think about this. So I want to solicit your feedback on this. Now, of course, it will be interesting to hear various people's takes on this, but very specifically, the most interesting feedback from my perspective will be people who have used this in this idea in particular in your own life, in your own case. It's something that you have personal knowledge of would be ideal. Have you ever participated in such a lawsuit? Have you experienced it, seen it play out, been involved with it in some way? And what were the results, positive or negative? And it would be extremely interesting to hear from people who have had positive results. I used this notice of liability and this happened. Or I sued this department and they changed this rule. Or something specific. That would be wonderful. Can we come up with a compendium of specific things that you can actually cite and that we can document? Because that might be valuable to showing that this really is a viable solution. Or, perhaps conversely, debunking it. No, in fact, there are no identifiable examples of this ever working. All right, case closed. We can move on to the next solution. So, as I say, I'm just putting this on the table today. This is something that, as I say, I started to notice last month, and suddenly it's been on my news radar and all over my news feeds. So I'm just interested to see what you guys out there have to say about this. I think there are, it would not be good to throw out the baby with the bathwater, simply because it is unlikely that we're going to see all of the real criminals and the Bill Gates and everyone else in the world being thrown behind bars in their orange jumpsuit for being involved in the global conspiracy. Just because that is not likely to happen does not mean that this is a completely valueless tool. And there are various ways that we can explore that. I'm looking forward to your feedback. So if and when you have feedback along these lines, please leave them at Corbett Report on this post at CorbettReport.com. I'm looking forward to your feedback, but that's going to do it for this week. James Corbett, CorbettReport.com.